tight. That green light means to go, I guess. It's kind of bad, you know, when you get older. I had to unhook it so I could see if the light was on. That's a good sign you got a good cook, I guess. Yeah, the way it goes, you know. Good to be here this morning. And just tell you, church, last Sunday we had Tommy and Jolene, the children up there, and they shared about their trip. It was special. They did a, thank you. They did a real good job putting feelings into what they have seen. And it was great. Everybody enjoyed it. We thank you for doing that. And talk about stories. We just come through the prison crusade here in South Carolina. And I was one of the evangelists there. And one humorous story didn't happen this year, but last year. I don't know if I ever shared it here or not, but when I gave, sometimes they want to count the inmates. They never done that in a women's prison when I was there. But sometimes they lose count or they don't come out even. So they might shut you down right in the middle of a message, about halfway through, and you have to sit down, and or stand back, and all the prisoners, inmates, they go against the wall, and then they count them again. And they might, one time they done it three times in one of the men's prisons. And so I was getting kind of fahoodled for you that understand diet, you know. But anyhow, I wasn't quite sure how to get back into it, and they don't like to sing because they're just kind of nervous looking around. And so I told them a story. And we were about 3 years ago, coming four years ago. Actually, it's almost 4 years ago. When we were made up our mind that we were going to move in to the Carolinas, in the Fair Play area, and Scott took me fishing out on Lake Hartwell, and I caught a big fish, and it was quite an experience for me. We were used to them little ones, you know, catching them, but they're exciting too. But anyhow, I got hooked on a big one, and I didn't tell him. Maybe I did tell him what size it was. Maybe I told him how much it weighed. But anyhow, I told him that's how I got their attention again with that story. And then later on, I gave an altar call after the service there and preaching. And several guys come up. But this one guy come up to me and he said, after they prayed with him, he said, "What'd you do with that fish?" Oh, man, I laughed so hard. I mean, I tried to be serious, you know. I just looked at him and said, "Did you eat him?" I says, "Yeah." "Was he good?" And I says, "Yeah." He just shook his head and walked back. But I got their attention, fish story. That story this morning that brother shared, it was okay. Yep. Sometimes you can get people's attention. But you know what? The Bible is a story. It is a story, and we try to tell it the best we can. And I, you know, sometimes I wish I could tell it a little better, but here's what you got. You know, the Lord said I can use you years ago, and here I am. I'm just trying to be obedient to what God has called me to do. So this morning what I want to talk about is a story that's probably pretty personal to all of us. You want to turn to Luke chapter 14. It's where I took my message from. And my mind, I don't preach as much as I once did. And my mind goes so many different ways. Scripture pops in, and I know I can't do justice to all of it. So I'm trying to stay in the level and make it interesting that makes sense to all of us, to all ages. You know, if we look at chapter 14, I was going to read more of them verses, but I'm going to start in verse 25, chapter 14 in Luke, chapter 25, verse 25. Now, the first part there, Jesus was teaching like in maybe about a third of the way down. He had invited people to verse 16, 15 on down, just to make a little story here. He invited people to a meal. He had a great supper. He brought a story of a man that had a great supper, and he invited a lot of people. Well, the invitation of this great supper, people started to make excuses. There's three different excuses that people start to make. The one bought some property. He bought some ground. And he says, I want to go see it. And he says, I want to be excused. In 19, it says, he bought some oxen, yoke of oxen. He wants to be excused. The other one married a wife. He says, therefore, I can't come. That person wanted to be excused too. And as he went on down, and he went told the people to go out and get the poor, the blind, the lame, the maimed. Go out in the highways and the byways and tell the people to come in. And then you notice in verse 25 it says, and there went a great multitude with him. And he turned and he said unto them. And this great multitude, I think, were the people that were invited that we probably think is, why would you invite them? You know, they were not the kind of people that could invite you back. Amen? That's what he's saying here. You cannot, they will never be able to invite you back because they're lame, they're crippled, they're blind. They will not be able to invite you back. Our nature, so what I want to talk about today is a lot who we are in our nature. While I'm thinking of that, unless I forget, you know, our birth title is born altogether in sin. That's not real pretty. That's why we need to change our title. Because it's who we are. That's hard to say in the church, isn't it? But it's the Bible says it. It backs it up. That's who you're looking at. I was born altogether in sin. That's why I needed a Savior. So that's what I'm talking about this morning. As we think about now verse 26, I had another thought, but it left me, that's fine. Verse 26, it says, if any man or woman, this is talking about whoever comes to Christ. This is what it takes. He says, you must hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children and your brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life. You know, for a long time, I didn't catch that last part. You know, this word hate, that really got my attention years ago, and it's word, it means love less. Christ has to be number one. That's what it means. That's the way I understand it. But, notice this, it says, it says, sister, and yea, his own life. Now, it's coming right down personal. We got a lot of homebreaking. It says, I love Jesus more than any of you. But what about my own life? Where do you stand? Where do I stand between me and Christ? My own life. You know, we're pretty proud of ourselves. The things that we do and we boast at it. And things that we like and what we accomplished in life. And I think that's what he's talking about. It's okay. But who is number one in your life? That's very, very important. then it goes on and he talks, and speaks about it here, and it says, if you don't, you cannot be my disciple. And disciple means simply being taught by Jesus. It's simply being discipled by him, disciplined. That's what that means, the word disciple. It's an ongoing thing. It's like a school child. It's going to school and it's learning different grades. We jump in grades. And I think that's what we get mixed up sometimes with the Christian walk of life. You know, somebody comes to Christ even before that, when people, they want to become Christians, when it says, when I get all my life straightened out, maybe they got a problem with a lot of things in life that, you know, they feel, well, Jesus don't love me yet. We sang that song this morning, Just As I Am. That's what it means, people. That's what it means. If you have a problem in your life, tell it to Jesus. Tell it. And also, before you get into another problem after you're saved, count the cost. Count the cost before you step in to something that you know you've been delivered from. You know, that's really amazing. When I look at the New Testament, and I go back to the Old, I love the Old Testament. I grew up with the Old Testament, didn't know much about the New, growing up as an Amish boy. And that's what my daddy preached out of. I heard them old stories over and over, Sunday after Sunday, as he preached. I knew the Old Testament stories, but not much about the New. I found the New in the Mennonite people. I found Christ in the New Testament. So the amazing thing is, the Old Testament, a lot of times you had to commit the act. This is about counting the cost. For instance, like the woman that was brought to Jesus that was caught in the act of adultery. All these men that brought her to him. He says, now Moses said she should be stoned. What do you say? They were doing that to tempt Jesus to see what he would say. Trying to accuse him for not being, not keeping the law. Anyhow, make a long story short, he did not condemn her, because the reason that those men left is because he wrote on the ground. Nobody knows what he wrote. But they left from the oldest to the youngest, and they were convicted. Whatever they saw, right on the ground. They left. Then Jesus stood up and he says, where are thine accusers? And the reason he said thine accusers, back in the Old Testament, if you would tattle on someone, you say, hey, I caught them in sin. You take him to the judge. And he was found guilty. You were the first, you had to throw the first stones. Because you told him, hey, I caught you. You took him in. You were the one that had to throw the first stones at those people. That was the death penalty. Stone him to death. How'd you like that? That'd take care of tattling, wouldn't it? You make sure that you were the judge and a jury at the same time. So that's Jesus, that's why he said, where are thine accusers? Where are they at? He said, there is none, Master. And he says, neither do I condemn thee. But that's not all. He says, go and sin no more. Learn from your lesson. Learn from it. And the other one I had to think about is this for the guys here. You know, back in the Old Testament, you had to commit the act to be called adultery. You know what Jesus said? You know, guys, he says, if you look at a woman, talking about married men, and you lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. It's the same thing. That is why I'm saying count the cost. I tell you what, folks, when you make that commitment to Christ, you step in that holy place. Be very careful of your choices. Because you're going to hurt him. You're going to hurt Christ. And you're going to hurt yourself. And you're going to hurt the ones around you. You're going to hurt your family. That's what he's talking about here. As you go on down in this chapter, he's talking about the cost. Have you counted the cost before you act? I'm talking about Christian people. Verse 27, it says, whosoever, Luke 14, whosoever doeth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Talk about a cross. Cross represents death. It's simply saying, now, you know, people that are not Christians don't have that problem. They don't have that problem. They'll fight their way through. This cross that he's talking about daily, that we take up this cross, one place it says that we take it up daily. The cross is something that it's in our life that causes problems. Sometimes I don't take care of the cross that I carry. I don't take care of it. And I know when I didn't. It could be anger. It could be words. Did you know the tongue? I know Nathan Seaver just had seen the whales. That's always amazes me how they can, how a man can tame a whale. And all these animals, it's amazing. The Bible backs that up. He says every animal, every beast has been tamed, have been tamed by man. But no man can tame that tongue. No man can tame it. In the tongue, there is the power of life and death in the tongue. No man can tame it. I wrote in my Bible some years ago, but Jesus can. You know, I can't speak kind words. I can't. But that cross that I'm supposed to take care of daily, my cross. You have your cross. It's not somebody else's cross. It's my cross, Sam Hosteller's cross, that I'm responsible for. So are you for your cross. Not somebody else's, but for yours. To be who Christ wants you to be. Isn't that amazing? We all have a cross. And he says, you take it up. Come after me. Whosoever does not bear his cross. That cross is not a pretty picture a lot of times. It means simply put it to death. Put it to death. And count the cost. Count the cost. It's what he's talking about here. Verse 28, it says, and which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth that down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. And the reason he said that, you know, look at verse 29, he says, less happily after, he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him. People laugh at you. They laugh at us. You know, a lot of times I think along with that, to count the cost. Boy, I'm surprised at certain people. Some people we're not surprised about. But some people, if they commit certain things, especially Christians, we're surprised. I never thought that person would do that. And I think that is, they did not count the cost of what it would do to him or her and their family. I think it's a lot of times, it's very personal. Because most times, you hurt people around you. Person don't think about that when he's selfish. When you think about what I'm going to do and get rid of myself, or whatever, commit suicide like Leo shared. You know, there's a lot of people probably got hurt because of that. People don't think about it oftentimes. And it goes on in verse 30, it says, saying, this man began to build, and he was not able to finish it. People laughed at him. Count the cost. You know, I have to think of a very, very familiar story of Nicodemus that's found in John 3. He said he was a Pharisee, John chapter 3. He was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This guy was a ruler of the Jews. I realize, you know, when this happened, the veil has not been rent yet. Christ has not finished his ministry. But he used this story for a lesson that we can learn from it. Then it goes on down. He said he knows. He called him Rabbi, verse 2. And he says, we know that you're a teacher, that you're come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered him, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what authority does Jesus have to say that? Because he started his ministry with 3 years. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit now. You know, when we commit ourselves to Christ, it's a little bit like the children go to school. I use this for my own life. You know, when babies are born, they need a lot of care. Just talking about being born again. They're born in this family. They take so much care and joy of the mom and dad, take care of them. And I see that. I saw that in my family, and I see it in my grandchildren and their parents. I see that. They bring joy, a lot of joy. But pretty soon, you know, they learn to walk. What is most important, you know, in life? Pretty soon they get a little bicycle. Then pretty soon they can ride that thing without training wheels. Pretty soon they go to school. They learn how to write. Mom and Dad get so excited. Picture that as a Christian growing in Christ, just step by step. Then pretty soon they come home with a whole bag, whole armful of homework. You got your homework done. Now, why is there homework? Somebody's shaking their head back there. They didn't get their homework done. Okay, oh, good luck to you. But anyhow, they got that homework, and Mom and Dad say, you got your homework done. And they say, no. What is that homework for? There's a test. There's a test Friday. They got a test, a spelling test or whatever. And they got to study for it. You know, Mom and Dad, to make that real plain, here is our test. Here is our homework. You know, we have a test that's ahead of us, and we may not know what it is, but we need homework. It's not only for the children, but it's for me, it's for grandma and grandpas. We got homework. We need to study for that test that's ahead of us. And I have some. I have some tests that are coming. And that's what homework is, people. We all have it. We have it 6 days a week. Then Sunday we come and bless each other with it. But that's when the tests are really... Today it's easy. To be here with you people, it's easy to be a Christian. It's a blessing. I've been blessed all day, all morning, in Sunday school. I've been blessed. I've been counting my blessings. And part of my family is here today, and a newborn baby, 3 months old. I'm blessed. I'm totally a blessed grandpa and a dad. But the thing of it is, Monday morning, something else happens. I got to deal with people. Fix lawnmowers and things like that. Get ready for those tests. Whatever your job is, whatever you know what it is. But we need to prepare for it. That's why we sometimes get angry. That's why we sometimes do things that we said, man, I got to go back and apologize. Sometimes, you know, our life, we hold on to unforgiveness. That people do us wrong and they figure it'll go away. This is how I take that unforgiveness. You know, somebody did us wrong years and years ago. You know, maybe it kind of scabbed over and you don't think about it so much. Then pretty soon, maybe somebody, you see something that happens to somebody because you didn't have your homework all done. Maybe you forgot how you're supposed to forgive people. And you start picking on that scab. You start picking on it. Pretty soon it starts to bleed again. And then it comes back to you. And you relive the whole thing all over again. I believe in forgiveness, people. You let it heal. Am I right? Let it heal. When somebody does you wrong, I'm talking to Christian people. The world says, I will never forgive that person. But you know, Jesus said, the Lord's Prayer, He taught the disciples how to pray. Not how to pray, but to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, get it, forgive us our debts as we forgive others that are trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory is forever. Amen. Then he goes on to the next verse, and he said, if you do not forgive those that trespass against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. He will not forgive you if you don't forgive those around you. And I believe, folks, forgiveness simply means is quit picking at that scab. I really do. Let it heal over. Let it heal over. And once that scab, what that scab is doing is protecting it. Then once that scab comes off, the skin will kind of go back, and pretty soon you don't even see the scar. You say it's not possible. I really believe in Christ. It is possible. But I tell you, I challenge you, we need to do our homework. I believe every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us hurt other people on purpose. That's why we need to practice forgiveness. Jesus, our example, he said, when they told him, said, you know, back it was a great thing to forgive each other three times, Jewish law. It was a big thing, powerful. So he added to it, and when he's talking to Christ, Peter did, and he said, how about seven times? And Jesus said, 70 times seven in one day. Think about it. That's our King. That is the new life. That is being born again. We practice that, our homework. We do that. Have you counted the cost? Daily, take up that cross and follow Christ. It's a good life. Now let me tell you what the good life is about. I'm going where I wasn't planning because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking through me whatever He wants me to talk about. It's for me, if nothing else. Got so many green stickers here. Here it is. This is what's ahead of us, folks. It's a blessing. He says in Thessalonians chapter 4, about verse 13, it says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Hang on with your Christian life. Don't let Christ down. Just hang on. There's something coming. Yes, we're going to have problems. We're going to have trouble. But I tell you what, I'd love to see this place. I'd love to see this place and see Jesus face to face as my King. So would you. And you will. Bible says that. In verse 14 it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and he rose again. Remember Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says thou shalt be saved. And he's backing it up here, Paul is. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And I know that people in heaven today, I know by faith believing in knowing Christ and families and loved ones that are in heaven that I haven't seen for a long time, I love to see them. And for me to be faithful is to meet these people. That's what's ahead of us. By counting the cost and taking that cross daily. Follow Christ. Don't give Satan one inch of your life. He will destroy you. That's what he is for. He will destroy you. But here is ahead of us. For this we say unto you. He's telling us. All I'm doing is a mouthpiece. This is God's word to you and to me this morning. It says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It's His word. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, the Lord Himself shall descend. Jesus is coming back. And I tell you what, folks, when He comes, He will not carry His cross to the mountain, to Golgotha Hill. They will not take Him down and drive nails and spikes through His hand. He will never again be on that cross. But He will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take home those that believe in Him. He will come. He says He is going to be the one that's coming. Jesus is going to be the personal one that's coming back for the people that believe in Him. That's you and me. That excites me. But I tell you what, that cross, daily, we have to take care of that. It's our cross. Daily. He done His cross. Now we do ours. That is all those things that the Bible says they're wrong. We need to deal with that daily. And here is our homework. It's the Word of God. And it says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven a shout with the voice angel, the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are remain, if we're still alive when He comes, we will be caught up with those and we forever be with the Lord. Who is He? I see the time is going fast, so who is He? You know, when Christ was on the cross, He looked down and He put a stamp on His word. And he said, it is finished. There is no more. You have no other place to go to be forgiven. He got a name above every name. I jotted a few things down that just blessed me. He got a name above every name. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, meaning that God is with us. What all is he? He is Jehovah. He's got all power given to him from heaven and on earth. He is our God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the bread of life. He is the living water that the Bible talks about. He's the Lamb of God. He's the great I Am. He is the first and the last. He holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's the one that will take us through in a dying state when our body goes back to dust. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you through the end of the world. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is the way, the truth, and life. He said, no man will come unto the Father but through him. There is no other way, people. Don't look for another way. A lot of religions, they look for another way. What can I do to be saved? It's through the blood of Jesus Christ and him only. It's how you become a Christian. And a good part of it is it says that every knee will bow to this name. Every eye will see him. Every eye is going to see him. There's going to be people that rejected him that are going to cry out that the rocks and the mountains will cover them because of the wrath of God. We're rejecting his son. Grace has ended at that time. Every eye shall see him and every knee will bow before him. It's not a game. It's real. Keep your homework. Father, we thank you this morning for the promise of your word. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving us. Lord Jesus, I know you took me just the way I am, and I thank you for it. Lord, I pray your highest blessing on this church here for the leadership and the young families and their children, the older folks, the grandmas and grandpas. Lord, just bless them with your highest blessing. We thank you for them. I pray that, Lord, as we go through this battle, we are not alone. I know that you're right here with us. I pray against fear, against all these things that try to cripple us. I pray against unforgiveness. Open our hearts and our minds to eternity. Lord, we travel through this life. It's a short life. And then eternity is here. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the times that we failed you, that we fell, that you reached down with your hand and you brought us back upon the rock. Now you establish our going. Thank you, Jesus, for being a loving Savior. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you this morning for ascending into heaven. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit 10 days later, the Comforter. He is here. We know that. We can feel it. Lord, I just pray now, if your Holy Word has spoken to anyone that's convicted, Lord, and I just commit that person to you. You know how to deal with us, Lord, and how you love us in a kind way. I just want you to have all the honor and all the glory for this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.